Gus threw her arms around Chris the minute he came close enough for her to do so. "Jordan tells me it's going well," she enthused. "Couldn't be better." "You're not there," Chris said, stiffening. "And what's he supposed to say? That you're not getting your money's worth?" "Well," Gus said, settling into her bridge chair, "he has no reason to lie." Chris bent his head, massaging his temples. "St. Jordan," he muttered. There was nobody else in the visiting room. Usually Gus arrived earlier, but with the trial, she'd had to get home to Kate and make dinner before she struck off again to visit Chris. Chris, who seemed awfully agitated. Gus peered at him curiously. "Are you all right?" she asked. He rubbed his eyes and blinked up at her. "Fine," he said. "Peachy." He started to drum his fingertips on the table and looked at the officer posted by the stairs. "Jordan says I'm the star witness," Gus said. "He told me that the jury's going to ride my emotion all the way to a not guilty verdict." Chris jerked. "Sounds like something he'd say." "You seem very edgy tonight," Gus said. "But from all accounts, Michael helped you tremendously today. Jordan's done a remarkable job up to this point. And certainly you'd know I'd do handsprings to get you free, Chris." "What I'm saying, Mom," Chris answered, "is that the jury may not want to see your handsprings, that they've already made up their minds." "That's crazy. That's not the way this system works." "What do you know about the way this system works? Is it right that I've been in jail for nearly a year just waiting for a trial? Is it right that my lawyers never once asked me, 'Hey, Chris, what really happened?'" He leveled cold blue eyes on his mother. "Have you thought about it, Mom? This trial is going to be over in a day. Have you thought about what color you're going to paint my room when they take me away for the rest of my life? About what I'm going to look like at 40 and 50 and 60 when I've been living in a room the size of a closet all those years?" He was quivering by the time he finished, and there was a wildness to his gaze that Gus recognized as the edge of panic. "Chris," she soothed, "that isn't going to happen." "How do you know?" he cried. "How the hell do you know?" From the corner of her eye, Gus saw the officer take a step toward them. She shook her head slightly, and he resumed his post at the stairs. Then she gently touched Chris's arm, carefully masking her own fear at seeing her son red-faced and trembling. She realized what a strain it must be to be 18, and listening to strangers decide your life. It was just as James had told her. Chris was wearing a mask in the courtroom. Simply being able to sit there without breaking down spoke volumes about his determination and his character. "Sweetheart," she said, "I can understand why this is so frightening."
"No, you can't!"
"I can. I'm your mother. I know you." Chris's head swiveled toward her slowly, a bull about to charge.
"Oh,"
he said, "and what do you know?" "I know that you're the same wonderful son I've always loved. I know that you're going to get through this, like you've gotten through everything else. And I know that the jury isn't going to convict someone who's innocent." Chris was shaking so hard at this point that Gus's hand fell away from his shoulder. "What you don't know, Mom," he said softly, "is that I shot Emily." And with a muffled cry, he turned and fled up the stairs to the guards who would safely lock him away.